Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 25. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. And then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is to be? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak, till the day these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, no, he is to be called John. They said to her, none of your relatives has this name. Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered the words and said, what then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. For he has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy parents from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is hope and abundant life. Amen. I want to tell you a story about a fellow named Griff. Griff had had a bad year, a bad couple of years, maybe a bad decade. You see, Griff had lost the love of his life, and, well, he didn't see his kids anymore. He'd lost his big job, and he had a couple of small jobs now, one of which he was doing well enough. But the other, well, he was stealing from the other. But he had to. See, he needed the money. He just couldn't make enough to keep a roof over his head. Not really a roof. It was someone else's floor. He could barely afford his basement apartment. And he shopped sales as best he could. He had too much pride to go to a food bank. See, Griff had an addiction. He couldn't take public charity when he knew that he could just stop his addiction, you know, his stupid addiction, if he just could just get a hold of it. This thing that had grabbed him and slowly squeezed the life out of him. Not that anybody really noticed. But then it took his family away from him and his job and his self-respect. But oddly, not his pride. No, he couldn't ask for help, wouldn't go to a food bank, but he could steal from his employer, who was actually a pretty good guy. One night when he was alone in the office, he was going through the petty cash drawer. Yeah, they still had one. One of the reasons that he still worked there. And he was just going to grab a couple of 20s, you know, like no one's really going to notice. It would just sort of keep him sorted for another day. And his boss came back unexpectedly. Just boom, there he was. Mr. Pearson literally caught Griff with his hand in the till. I thought so, Mr. Pearson said. Griff said nothing. Yeah, I could just tell.
Something in your eyes, way you talk, the glances, the strange hours, I recognized it. I recognized you right away. Well, it's not what you think. It's exactly what I think. And I know. You're in a bad place. A terrible place. You've become someone you never thought you would be. Doing things you would never have done before. How long has it been since you felt at ease? You know? Without your shoulders bunched up, without... How long has it been since you've slept? 5 years? 10 years? More? I know what you're feeling. That's why I came back tonight. I knew what I'd find. And I thought it was about time that I did something. Am I fired? Like, 'cause you can't prove, like, I didn't actually take it. You're not fired. I'm going to give you a chance. Not to save your job, but instead to save your life. I told you, I recognize you. Because I've been there. But I don't go there anymore. I mean, I could end up there tomorrow. But I'm going to meet some friends tonight that are going to help me make better choices tomorrow. And I've been making better choices now for, well, for about 30 years. So you want to come with me and meet some people and find a better way? Maybe find a way to sleep at night? Hey, it won't be easy. It's not immediate. But it will get better eventually. My friends and I, we can help you find the tools that you need. Griff did not have to think twice. He closed the door. He followed his boss. He followed his boss, the one that he would eventually come to call friend. And life got better. A lot better. It's a familiar story. Maybe not to you, but you know someone, right? It's also a true story for lots of people. Told in lots of different ways, but essentially it's the same story. You can change your life. It usually requires help. A community is a big asset, people around you, you know? And every story is absolutely different, but every story is also the same. Now, here's one that you don't hear very often, which is strange because you know what? It's right there in our Bible, at the very beginning of Luke's beloved gospel. I mean, it's strange because, I mean, there it is. This is the first story that Luke tells the most excellent Theophilus, whose name, by the way, means loved by God. And it's not a story about Jesus. It's kind of a story about John, you know, who would grow up to become John the Baptist and set the scene for the adult Jesus to come into his ministry and, you know, public attention. But even so, I'm not so sure that it really is about John. I think it's really a story about his father, Zechariah. We almost never hear about him. I don't know, maybe it's our haste to get to the Jesus story. We just skip over this opening story. But I would really like to remind you of the story before the year runs out, before Christmas is a memory. I want to give you that first story that Luke tells in the gospel. So Zechariah was a priest. And it's estimated that there may have been as many as 20,000 priests in the kingdom of Israel at the time of Roman occupation. 20,000. There were 20 orders designated by King David long ago, and the order known as Abijah was the 8th order. That's Zechariah's order. It's not really important, I suppose. I just like to throw that in. But as you listen to the story that Luke tells, you'll know that Zechariah was a good man, a righteous man, which means he's in a good relationship with God. He and his wife Elizabeth, they're not able to conceive a child. But this doesn't seem to dampen his faith or his faithfulness. Now, as it happens, Zechariah's priestly order was on duty. It was their turn. It was their great honor to serve in the temple. Okay, that meant they would be saying prayers and making sacrifices. And remember, there's a lot of priests in the Abijah order. Some would say between 500 and 1,000. So they drew lots to decide who would get the honor of doing the various things that they had to do. And I don't think that it's a reach to suggest that being chosen to give the gentle sacrifice, the sweet sacrifice of offering incense, might have been the highest honor of them all. And Zechariah got that honor. He was chosen. When we meet this man, this righteous man, he is at the top of his game. He's achieved all that he's hoped for. He and his wife are respected in the community. He has a good job. They have a good relationship. He's just been chosen for the highest honor that he could ever imagine, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And they also believed, of course, that by choosing by lot, it wasn't just sort of a game of chance. It was an opportunity for God to influence the outcome. He chose lots because that way God kind of picks the winner. So for Zechariah, in his mind, he has been chosen by God to light the incense in the temple. This might be the greatest day of his life. Do you have a greatest day of your life? Maybe a couple or even a few days that could compete for the title, greatest day? I mean, some of us might say, well, my wedding day, or the day that you met that person who would ever, forever shape and color your life. It might be the birth of a child that competes for the top spot. Or when you got the job you always dreamed of, the corner office, the degree, that great church with the clear windows and the willing people. Yeah. Greatest day of your life. Yeah, I suppose that I have several moments that could compete for that top spot. I mean, all the ones that I've already mentioned, absolutely. And then, I don't know, for some reason when I try to think about my best day, I remember it's like 15 years ago, my wife and I hiking in the desert outside Tucson in Arizona. We just walked all day, and I felt so connected and at peace. Connected to my wife, connected to the world. I don't know why that day sticks out, but it always does. I remember my ordination, feeling so blessed and connected to God and to family. My wife and sons were there, my parents were there, my in-laws were there, and it seemed like that was the moment that so many other moments had been leading to. And then the neat thing is that when it happened, when I was actually ordained, they laid hands on me. There was no letdown. Just a sense of never-ending grace. I remember that day. And recently, I have found that lying on the floor playing with my granddaughter makes everything else fade into distant memory. Did I mention that I have a granddaughter? Yeah. I mean, no matter what I'm thinking about, no matter what I'm worrying about, it all just fades away and disappears as she laughs and giggles and threatens to crawl. So what would happen if an angel appeared or God's voice whispered in my ear as I'm playing with my granddaughter, Hallie, and said, "Norm, I've got something else for you to do." I'm pretty sure my answer would be, "Yeah, get back to me later, God. I'm kind of busy here right now." Like, we all recognize that story that I told at the beginning of the sermon. Griff's story. That moment that God or someone appears and offers you a way out of hell, or out of drudgery, suffering, out of meaninglessness or futility. Would you like something better? Of course I would, God. Absolutely. Lead on. Let's do this. But what happens when that voice comes and your relationships are stable, your work is rewarding, and your reputation is solid? You're living the dream. And God says, I have another dream for you. What do you say? Zechariah was having the best day of his life. His work was rewarding, his relationships healthy and stable, his reputation solid. And an angel, I mean, we know it's the angel Gabriel, appears to Zechariah, and Zech is terrified. I mean, things are going well. He is having the best day of his life. Is it about to be ruined? Now, the angel says that Zechariah's prayer has been answered. He will have a son. So we know, as good as life is, there are some things that he would still like. He and Elizabeth had prayed for a son. But I'm not sure that Zechariah and Elizabeth were praying for a prophet son, one for whom many will rejoice. Okay, note, many, not everyone, many, and by whom many will be turned. Again, not everyone. And Zechariah immediately backpedals. Well, how am I to know? I mean, my wife, I'm old. My wife is old. We've managed to live with it. Find peace in our disappointment and put together a pretty great life. And in the story, Zechariah is struck dumb for his doubt. And Elizabeth goes into seclusion during her pregnancy, isolates herself from everybody. This is costly to both of them. This is not easy. They had a good life. Maybe not perfect, but it was good. And they're supposed to trade this stable, good life for one where they will have a child that many will rejoice, but not all. Some people are going to not like him. This implies controversy and challenge. But things were so good. Do you want controversy and challenge? Luke begins his gospel, his story to Theophilus, the one loved by God, with this story. He does it intentionally. And here we are, ending our year with this story. And I'm doing it intentionally. It is, for Luke, one of the first things that we need to know about the truth of our faith. And it's this: God doesn't just call us when we are desperate and we're in need. Sometimes God calls us when things are good, but they might be even better. For someone, anyway. Better for us, usually. Better for others? Definitely. Zechariah and Elizabeth are both righteous and in a good relationship with God. They don't really need what their son is going to provide others. It doesn't seem that way anyway. It's going to cost Zechariah and Elizabeth. But the community and folks far beyond the community will benefit. Faith, it is about you. But it's not just about you. Our friend Griff is going to meet some people. They've got it figured out, but they're going to go out of their way to help Griff. Because what they have is absolutely perfect for them, but it's not just for them. They're meant to share it too. Sometimes God calls us when we've got it all together so that we can help others who don't. I don't know why you might need to hear this story today. It might be because you're part of a church that's healthy and doing well, stable and providing value in the community, reputation solid, vision of the future, finding clarity. And now you're being asked if you want to think about amalgamation. You know, something that will take work and come with cost, but may also provide benefit to many who are not benefiting at the present. Maybe. It might be that you've got it all together, loving your job and your relationships, and things are so good that you're no longer looking for angels or listening to new words from God. But there's an opportunity about to be presented. There's somebody who would benefit from something that you know. Could be. This just might be an invitation to make 2024 different than 2023. This is a story meant to open our eyes to the world all around us, where things are good for some, but not good for others, and realize that God calls us all. Sometimes God calls us to be together. Sometimes God speaks to us in our despair, and sometimes God speaks to us in the midst of our best day ever. We're invited, wherever we are, to step forward in faith. To come home out of the wilderness, to be sure. But then, when we are at home, to dare to make it home for others as well. See, faith is about us, but not only about us. And I can't think of a better way to end the year or start a gospel. Can't think of a better way than to be reminded that the good news of Christmas is about us, but not only about us. We're meant to unwrap the presents and enjoy them, but we're not meant to keep everything to ourselves. God speaks to us. God speaks to us in the shadows, but also in the light. Wherever and however you are, God is saying something to you. And in 2024, you're invited to respond. Thanks be to God. Let us pray.
Let this be a time for more prayer and fewer words. Let us quietly listen to how God prays to us, that we might hear the voice that calls us to healing, calls us to justice, calls us to hope, calls us out of one year and into another. Let us hear the voice that reminds us that love matters, that grief is part of love, and so too is peace and joy and hope. We can have all of these things in love. So let us listen. Let us pray out the old year and welcome the new with God. Let us pray. The Prayer of Jesus from the Message translation of Matthew's Gospel. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. do what's best. As above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes.
Go forth from this moment and enter into a new year, a time of new possibilities. Whether you're moving from a place of shadows or moving on from the best day of your life, go forth, listen to God's call, and know that God the Creator is with you. Know that Jesus walks with you, walks with us all. And know that the Holy Spirit absolutely surrounds and fills each and every one of us. Until we gather again, virtually or in person. Amen.